Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato and Barry Trammell after the Thunder's 126-108 home win over the Phoenix Suns. You guys, they actually got a bit of a lead there in the fourth quarter. It wasn't a last-minute win.
Yeah, this was new, like a drama-free victory against a, you know, fairly bad team. I mean, coming off those Chicago and Memphis games. So this was totally unexpected.
Well, I sat at home and watched Chicago, and I sat at home and watched Memphis, and, you know, come back from 26 and then come back from 24. I wasn't asking for a lot. I'd have settled for a 22-point comeback tonight. So, but this is what, you know what, the Thunder, some people fancy the Thunder as a good team. Maybe I'm in the group. I don't know. We're trying to figure all that out. But this is what a good team should do to Phoenix. Yeah. When you're at home, you shouldn't mess around with Phoenix. You shouldn't mess around with Chicago. You shouldn't mess around with Memphis. They did, but tonight was much better. They didn't really mess around with them. It was a good ball game, but they spurted away at the end. And this is what, if you're a good team, this is what you ought to do to the Suns.
Yeah, the third quarter was weird again. It wasn't one where they got behind. They won it, but they gave up 41 points.
Yeah, and scored 44. It looks like a bad halftime score, that 44-41.
And Billy Donovan just kept saying, like, thank goodness we kept scoring. It was like, yeah. Because otherwise that, like, if their offense doesn't keep up, then we're telling the story of, again, oh, they fell behind in the third and then had to crawl back and this, that, and the other. But the offense kept going.
So. Yeah. I mean, they shot 73% in that third quarter. Barry, you were tracking the misses for both teams, and those were a lot easier to track than the makes during that third quarter.
Well, like they played like 8 minutes, and the teams had combined for 5 stops. Like, the Thunder had 2 stops, Phoenix had 3 stops in 7 or 8 minutes, for crying out loud.
Every other possession ended in a free throw.
Well, it was a lot of whistles. There was a break in play, and they said it was to watch the replay, but they really went to get more whistles because they'd used all those whistles. It was actually historic. First time in Thunder history that both teams scored at least 40 points in a quarter. Never had happened in Thunder history before. It's the 9th time it had happened in Phoenix. Now, they've been playing a lot longer in Phoenix than here in Oklahoma City. And they had those Steve Nash teams that used to run up and down the court, and, you know, 8 seconds of possessions. But at the buzzer, Ty Jerome hit that running 3-pointer for Phoenix. They called it good, went to replay, wiped it off.
But otherwise
it was going to be 44-44 in the third quarter, and it would have been the first time in Suns history that both teams scored at least 43 in a quarter. So that was an abnormal quarter by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I mean, and we've been – it's weird. Like, you know, Barry, you asked the question to Billy, like, is this a defensive team, offensive team? Because if you look at offensive and defensive rating, Thunder about in the middle of the pack in both. And it's really hard to tell. Some nights defense, some nights offense. Tonight was definitely offense, and maybe that's a result of the Suns' defense. I thought such a big part of the scoring, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a career high 32, and we'll talk more about him, but the Suns do not have a great rim protector. I mean, Aaron Baines is their only, like, big-bodied center. DeAndre Ayton's out. Now, he's not a rim protector either, but he's at least a big body that they could put in there. They're just kind of an undersized team, and I thought the Thunder really attacked them in the paint.
Yeah, they definitely did. They outscored them 58-38 in the paint. And you had, I mean, Steven Adams doing his normal Steven Adams big bruiser thing, and then Nerlens Noel over the past couple games has really got that lob chemistry down with Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder. And, like, he kind of always had it with Chris Paul, but for whatever reason, in the first few games, Dennis Schroeder's lobs were off. I think we mentioned this in the last podcast. They were behind him or not high enough. And, man, he had some fancy lobs tonight. One ended up not resulting in an alley-oop, but Nerlens still got fouled going up, and it was a behind-the-back, no-look lob. Like, I've never seen that before. And then the other one was honestly kind of just a dart right above the rim, and they timed it perfectly. So that's been huge for them. I mean, Nerlens has been – we don't talk about him enough. He's been really consistent for them this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's one of the best backup centers in the league, and he's having such a great year. And, you know, we've talked about Dennis struggling to throw those lobs. Chris Paul has never struggled to throw those lobs, but he had one tonight. It was just underhanded. I mean, you know, it's before Nerlens is even rolling to the rim, and he finishes it off. And, you know, CP said after the game that he loves that spot, you know, basically in between the restricted area and the free throw line. And once he gets in that, you've either got to, A, come out on Chris Paul and guard that shot, or if he's out there with Nerlens, Nerlens is rolling to the rim and he's going to finish with that alley-oop.
And that's hard to read, too, as a defender, because it looks similar, like a floater and a lob at that point from that spot. And so, yeah, you have to make a decision quick and hope that it's the right one.
Yeah, and, you know, this is two straight games for Noel with a bunch of lobs, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he have three or four the other night? So he's playing at really well. Four, yeah. And Adams was good tonight, too. That, of course, you know, they're playing against Aaron Baines and Frank Kaminsky. So the Phoenix is not a big team when everybody's healthy. They're not a big team when they're shorthanded. So it's a pretty good matchup for those guys. They really can't match up with Noel or Stone Cold. So it was a good matchup, and they took advantage of it, which is what they ought to do.
And Steven was going up against his old coach, Mark Bryant, who he credits a lot with really getting him introduced and ready for the league, because he's been a Thunder, or I guess an assistant in this franchise since Seattle. He had 1 year in Seattle, and then up until this summer, what had been with the Thunder as an assistant for, 12 years?
11 years.
11 years here, 12 with Seattle. So long, long time. A lot of, you know, just providing stability there, and then, you know, providing a constant presence with Steven through the beginning of his career. And so they had some nice reunion moments. I was out on the court before the game when MB was warming up the Sun centers and Steven was walking off the floor. They switched sides in their warmups. Usually the Thunder is over by their bench and the opposing team's by theirs, and they swapped, so the Suns were by the Thunder bench. And so to come back to the locker room, Steven had to walk all the way across the court and pass that, you know, the bench that the Suns were occupying at the time. And he started, you know, shouting things at MB, which sounded like, you know, usual reminders that he'd get when he was in the game, and then came over and MB came to say hello, and Steven pretended to ignore him and walk off, and then they you know, ended up chatting and catching up for a while. But you had that reunion, you had Monty Williams, you had Darko. Reunions all around. So many connections.
Well, and Adams was reunited with one of his archenemies, Aaron Baines, the old New Zealand-Australian rivalry. And we got a little bit of, you know, a double foul with Oubre and Adams. And then Adams gets a technical for apparently tossing the ball at Baines. Steven seemed to be in pretty good spirits most of the night, but I think he was enjoying taking it to Baines. You know, the Thunder blocked. How many they blocked shots? They had seven blocked shots tonight. Adams had two. Noel had one, seemed like five. And then your man Darius Bazley had three. You know, we mentioned rim protection non-existent for the Suns, but, you know, Darius Bazley, I think he's got seven in the last two games.
Yep.
So, you know, he's starting to show a few things that where he can help. So, you know, the Thunder, this was a nice win, because Phoenix is one of those teams chasing that seventh or eighth playoff spot. And, you know, the Thunder put a little distance between themselves, lose this one, and you're one game, You're one game ahead of the Suns. Now you're three games ahead of the Suns. So.
And now they're at 500 for the first time this season.
Map out the victory, the championship parade route. Map it out.
Wouldn't it be wild? This is not going to happen. Well, what if this was the team to do it? They're so close. So close with so many good teams, and then they tear it down. And hey. Why not? Why not mess around and get a championship?
If you're already playoff watching on December 20th, this was a very good day for the Thunder. The Suns obviously lose. Looks like the Trailblazers are going to win. Minnesota's lost 9 straight. Phoenix has lost 5 straight. You know, San Antonio coming on a little bit, but the Thunder are, what, 2 games clear of that 9 spot right now, which Sacramento is occupying. So it... This homestand has really treated them well after, you know, splitting that road trip, because you've got three very winnable games, and they won them all.
Huzzah.
Yeah, Kings lose. Yeah, so, yeah, here's the deal. This team's better than most people thought. I forgot what you guys predicted win-wise, but they started 1-4 against a fairly tough schedule, and then had some – rough edges, but to get back to 14-14, and now you got the Clippers and the Grizz to finish off. If they're 15-15 after 30 games, that's better than most people thought, both in Oklahoma City and around the league.
Well, we still have to hit the trade deadline, but I think both Eric and I were flabbergasted by how many wins you thought that they were going to get this season, and now it's looking like
me.
Yeah. Now it's looking like you both had their wins and, sadly, Roberson's number of games.
Oh, yeah. I said 38.
Correctly. Oh, I said
38 wins.
Oh, yeah. And you said
zero. And I said zero for Roberson. Yeah, I aced that one. I knew that was coming. So I didn't know, but I was pretty sure. But 38, I mean – you know, this is a team that – they look like a 500 team to me. They look like a 41-41 team. They're not a great team, but, you know, we've been so jaded by quality basketball. You know, we've had some 48, 49-win teams and thought, they're not that good. Well, you win 48 or 49 games in the NBA, you got a really good team. So 41-41 in the West would be a very nice accomplishment.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with someone from out of town who was asking about how the fans were reacting to the season and their expectations and whether they were, you know, doable. And I said, yeah, like, honestly, I've been pretty impressed with how ready fans have been to be like, all right, cool, we're going through a rebuild, we're on board, let's go. I mean, you know, obviously it's going to be much longer than this and it's early in the process, but I was like, yeah, I think people have just gotten sick of those first round exits, 3 in a row. And the guy just kind of laughed and he was like, wow, that's, you know, if you're a franchise that where you're getting sick of 3 first round exits, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about this a ton. Like, the rebuild is not going to start as long as guys like Chris Paul and Danilo Gallinari are here. And with the Clippers coming here on Sunday, we got a really good look at the return in that Paul George trade. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a career-high 32 points tonight on 13 of 18 shooting. Danilo Gallinari, 22 points on 8 of 14 shooting. But really, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, we saw in the beginning of the season him just being – so artful with that scoop shot that, you know, we've seen from guys before, but like it was definitely his signature shot. Then he, you know, after a career high first game with the Thunder, career high second game with the Thunder, had a little bit of a dip, but tonight, like I said, career high, and it was a really good night for Shai.
It really was. I mean, he shot 13 of 18. Like, it wasn't, and 2 of 2 from 3. So he was taking good shots, he was making them. At the beginning of the season, Billy kept talking about how he doesn't want Shai to just become a scorer, you know, and he's playing a lot off ball, so there is maybe some danger of that happening. But, you know, tonight he gets three assists, four rebounds to top that off, and his first 30-plus game in his career.
Well, he was really good, and you know, 2 for 2 from three-point range, and I think he was 8 of 9 in shots right at the basket, the restricted area or drives, 8 out of 9. So just a really solid all-around game for SGA. You know, what did he take? 3 shots against Chicago. Is that right, I think, Monday night? Well, that's absurd. That's just ridiculous. I don't know who's coaching this team, Billy Donovan. You got to get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander more than 3 shots. So this is more like it. And, you know, Joe, you pointed out during the game, or yeah, I think it was you, he leads the team in shots per game, which yeah. I would not have guessed that. I would have guessed Schroeder or Gallinari.
But, Schroeder's close.
Yeah, but he needs to take a bunch of shots because he's pretty efficient.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Schroeder. I think the difference in Shai's at like 15 field goal attempts per game. Schroeder's at 14 point something. I mean, he's closing the gap. Schroeder led the team in attempts tonight, which he did the last game. He was 9 of 19. But again, 24 points. He's strung together quite a few 20-point games. And he was plus 19 when he was on the floor, which was the best plus-minus of any Thunder player tonight.
Yeah, for me, I mean, his stats have been fantastic and really consistent this season, which we were missing last year. He'd have games like this, but it would be, you know, one every few weeks or one a week or, you know, one a road game or however that panned out. But he's having them super consistently. And then on top of that, he's become the energy guy. And we've talked about that a little before, but I got the chance tonight because I eventually decided that I was writing the game story off of him to really just hone in on him and his reactions to things. And if you ever have a chance to watch a game like that, highly recommended. I think I said to Joe at mid-game, I was like, I wouldn't be mad about just a Schroeder cam, like what, both when he's yeah. on and off the floor, because you'll have him celebrating and doing things like he hit a three late in the third when and the game had been going really poorly, and then the Thunder got a few points in a row and kind of took control again, and the Suns call a timeout, and Schroeder like hits the three and goes immediately, just like starts walking towards their bench like he's going into his own bench to get congratulated. He's smiling and pointing behind him, and then, you know, gets to the Suns players and just turns around and goes back to his own bench. And then he had probably one of the best, him and Steven Adams had the best reactions to Darius Baisley's dunk at the end of the game.
Yeah,
where Steven was like, he was coming up like he was about to check in, and Dennis was just like clearly on the court waving a towel and waited until he had the right time to mimic his dunk. So he's a lot of fun, and we'll do stuff like that constantly.
Yeah. I have two requests. We need a Dennis Schroeder cam, like you said, and we need a permanent mic on Chris Paul, and then we'll be entertained for as long as we want to be entertained.
Who do we need to talk to make this happen? And more post-game, more post-game videos from Danilo Gallinari, like tonight, because he was feeling himself. He was hilarious.
Yeah. Gallo basically gave it up to himself on everything, saying he taught Shai everything. He was like young Gallo out there, which is absurd given their different styles of play. But Gallo was just wanted to crack some jokes tonight.
Well, he probably needs to have fun tonight because the Clippers are coming to town. And Sunday, 3 of the 5 starters for the Thunder were Clippers last season or are Clipper legends. Greatest Clipper of all time, I would say, is either Blake Griffin or Chris Paul. So, you know, Gallinari and SGA come over. So 3/5 of the starting lineup is heavily connected with the Clippers. And, of course, you got the Paul George reunion. And it's going to be a we talked about Schroeder. Been talking about the sixth man of the year award. His two chief rivals, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, coming in with the Clippers. So it's going to be an interesting game. If your good friend Kawhi Leonard does not play, the Thunder has a much better chance to win because they don't have anybody that can guard Paul George or Kawhi Leonard, much less both of them.
Yeah, no, their quickest defensive players are all 6'7" and under. I think Terrence is 6'7", right?
Yeah, right at it.
And he's going to be your tallest. And other than that, I mean, we've seen Chris Paul guard, I mean, Paul George, for example, like guys who are towering
and LeBron,
guys who even more so towering over him. And he had some memorable moments against Carmelo Anthony, too.
If both of those guys play on Sunday, which might not be all that likely because the Clippers play Saturday night in San Antonio. Kawhi often sits on the second night of a back-to-back, but like
maybe he'll take San Antonio off instead.
Yeah, just out of spite. One guy we saw back with the Thunder tonight, I mean, Deontay Burton, he was like, he got real minutes on LeBron James in L.A., and he's like one of their only big-bodied wings that can guard those guys.
Yeah, maybe we'll see more of him. He's been in the G League for a while.
There's no like bad options on Kawhi and PG because like everyone is
there's
a bad
no
option.
Good option.
Yeah, because there's no good option. So like Billy can't take any criticism for whoever guards those guys because no one in the league can guard them.
Do you know what I think is going to happen? They're all going to guard him.
Yeah.
They're all just going to cycle through.
Give him different looks.
Give him different looks and see what happens and try to stay, you know, keep the guy who's on him fresh.
That's what makes the Clippers great. They've got the only two guys who can guard those guys are on the same team. You've got Kawhi and Paul George.
That's just the modern NBA, so we sort of got to live with it. But it's a great point.
And you forgot Patrick Beverley. Although, according to Russell, he's not in the upper echelon of defenders.
No. Patrick Beverley can play on my team about any time he wants to. I'll just say that. He will. I wonder how Chris Paul and Patrick Beverley get along. Because that's.
I don't know.
Because it seemed like two dominant personalities, not as stark as, say, Russell Westbrook's personality, but. And, you know, they were traded for each other in that huge Clipper Rocket trade of 2 years ago. So. That'll be a good one. The Clippers are nothing except interesting. They got an interesting head coach. They got a crazy owner. They got a bunch of teams that, you know, they got a bunch of crazy personalities. The only two guys that sort of are stoic are their two superstars, George and Kawhi. So they're a fascinating team. I think it's going to be a fun night at the ballpark.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. And, I mean, they've already played them. Once, so we kind of got the Paul George playing the Thunder after leaving them storyline out of the way. But, you know, his first time back in Oklahoma City, not nearly as pivotal as, say, Russ's first time back in Oklahoma City will be. But it'll be an interesting thing to see how Thunder fans react.
Yeah, I'm working on a story for Sunday, just getting to that point of kind of what the reception for Paul George is going to be. And I if you're listening to this between now and tomorrow, please send me your thoughts, by the way. But I've been really, you know, surprised by how rational this fan base has been. And like they're saying, like, you know, they're not going to go crazy for him. A lot have said they're not going to boo him, at least in the introductions, but they probably will boo him when he gets the ball and is handling it. But more than anything, the responses that I got are overwhelmingly thankful for the trove of draft picks that they got and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
You can't be mad at Paul George, I don't think. Paul George did the Thunder two huge solids. He signed on, you know, he got traded here, none of his volition. But then he signed on.
Yep.
And he signed on not for a 1 or 2 year deal. He signed on for that three/four deal. And that gave the Thunder all kinds of stability. And then when he wanted out and wanted to go jump on the good ship Kawhi Leonard, that gave the Thunder the opportunity to trade him. And the Thunder future is bright. And here's the deal. It was great fun with Paul George and Russell Westbrook, but the future was not bright.
Yeah.
Winter was coming. And it came quicker than we thought. But they, you know, they're both gone. But winter was coming. And if George plays his, you know, two more years and then bolts, you got a 34-year-old Russell Westbrook making, you know, crazy money and very little chance to rebuild. The Thunder's got SGA. They've got all those draft picks. You can't, you know, I don't see how anybody can be mad at Paul George. And it's not like he broke up a title team.
No.
It's a team that went to Salt Lake, couldn't get past the Jazz 2 years ago. Went to Portland, couldn't get past the Blazers last spring. They weren't going to win the title anyway. So I think Paul George did right by the Thunder.
Well, and, I mean, looks like Kawhi's deal matches up with Paul's. So who knows? Maybe they'll re-sign and the Clippers will stay super good. Maybe they won't, and the Thunder's draft picks will get a lot better. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are right. Like, this, it turned out the best possible way that it could have given that situation, and, you know, could look back. It might take a half decade or so, but could look back and say, okay, look what all of these decisions became. But yeah, well, Sunday will be fun, I think, because of his return.
I'm excited to see him. Joe went on the trip, so I didn't. I still haven't gotten to see him since he left, and he was a lot of fun to cover. Always very nice and respectful, and
until right at the very end. And I mean literally, right at the very end.
All right. Anything else to add, gents?
I think that covers it. Until next time.
Until next time. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your enemies, your neighbors, your family, your pets. And we will see you on Sunday after the Clippers game.